السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praises are Allah's, Lord of the worlds, and may His peace and blessings be upon our Master, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, and His pure, immaculate Ahlul Bayt. مُلِعَتْ بُطُونُكُمْ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ. Your insides have been filled with haram, Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, on the plains of Karbala. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Karbala is the place where Allah's attributes manifested 100%. All the ma'sumeen, all the 14 ma'sumeen, they're one light. But manifestation-wise, depending on the socio-political climate and other parameters, that light manifested differently. The environments differed. They're one light existence-wise. But this one light manifested differently. During the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, this light manifested itself 100%. The story of Ashura, like other stories of the Ahlul Bayt, like other stories of the Holy Quran, it's a story of the soul. Yes, something happened 1400 years ago. No one negates that. It's important. And we recall what happened through the Maqtals most of the year. And this should never be forgotten. But in these Maqtals, there are codes, very important codes. Codes of salvation, where man's identity can be found in those codes. The potential of what we can become, the answer to the question of who am I, what can I be? And that's why it's important, in addition to the superficial aspect of the Maqtals, one pays attention also to the esoteric dimensions of the Maqtals. The stories of the Quran, the same principle applies. If we only treat the Maqtals, if we only treat the Quran superficially and treat it as a book of history, well, there are other books which go into historical data in more detail. But this is God's word. This is Allah's word, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every word has an infinite number of dimensions to it. Every letter. إِنَّ لِلْقُرْآنِ ظَهْرًا وَبَتْنًا وَلِبَتْنِهِ بَتْنًا إِلَى سَبْعَةِ أَبْتُنْ. The Quran has a superficial aspect according to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. It also has an inner dimension, and in each inner esoteric dimension has another esoteric dimension. Go seven times over. In some traditions, 700 times, 700 inner dimensions. In some traditions, 7,000. The point being, it's infinite, it's Allah's word. The superficial aspect should never be forgotten, but if you suffice with the superficial aspect, you won't grow. You won't grow if you suffice with the superficial aspect. There's much more to retrieve, many more truths to acquire. In the Maqtals too, in addition to the superficial aspect, which is very important, for 1400 years this sunnah has continued. We should never underestimate them. The maqtals have been performed, each culture in a certain way. It's important though, the message of Hussein alayhi salam, it's indebted. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ajil faraja. It's persisted over time because of these maqtals. However, if we suffice with the superficial aspect alone, we won't spiritually grow though. We would have done a minimum, but we haven't done enough. Mule'at butunukum min al-haram. On the plains of Karbala, one of the last messages of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was that your insides have been filled with haram. What does this mean? You see, the words of the Imams, these are God's words. They don't speak from their own will. And in the same way that Allah's words bears many dimensions, the words of the Imams, there are many esoteric dimensions attached to it. Your insides, speaking to the enemy, that enemy exists today. Then we have to see how the story has to be converted today. It wasn't something which is confined to 1400 years ago, naturally. Your insides, O enemy of Hussein, whoever you are, even today, why did you become an enemy of Hussein alayhi salam? Because your insides have been filled with haram. Now, this has a physical, a superficial meaning, but the superficial meaning, if you suffice with that, you've missed the plot. You've lost the plot. Yes, the superficial meaning we accept. It's a minimum. It means your physical stomach, it's consumed haram. It consumed the flesh of pigs, for example. Or consumed the flesh of chickens or cattle that haven't been slaughtered Islamically. Or one step further, you've consumed food through money which has been earned the haram way. These are the superficial meanings of this. But the question now is, was that the problem? Was that the problem of the enemy? Did they consume the flesh of pigs? Was that their problem? Did they consume cattle that wasn't slaughtered Islamically? No. Actually, they would abide by the Sharia. The enemy, they would stick to the Sharia as the Sharia dictates. They would slaughter their meat Islamically. No one would consume the flesh of pigs amongst the enemies of Hussein. And actually, most of them may have earned the halal way too. See, here we can't suffice with the superficial dimension here. There's something missing here. But the Imam said, "Mule'at butunukum min al-haram." Your insides have been filled with haram. This has to be sorted out. What was it that they had filled themselves with? People like Shimr, la'natullah alayh, he would stick to the Sharia, at least on the outside. He would do Salatul Layl every night. He would fast most of the year. He would eat halal meat. He would eat meat which has been slaughtered Islamically. He wouldn't consume the meat of pigs. So why did he become who he became? Your insides have become filled with haram. We have to go deeper now. We don't have to limit it to the minimum superficial understanding. That's important. It's only step one. The Sharia is step one. True being step one, it's an essential step. But you can't suffice with it. Otherwise you won't grow. You won't grow spiritually. You can't suffice with the letter of the law. Your insides, what are the insides? And it's been filled with something. What does being filled with mean? And it's being filled with haram. What does haram mean? Is it only the Sharia haram, or are there other forms of haram? Your insides is referring to your soul. You filled your soul with haram. And the soul is immaterial. And you filled your immaterial soul with immaterial vicious traits. What are those traits? We'll come to in a minute. Just another tradition, just on the margin, just to explain it more clearly. لا تجعلوا بطونكم قبور الحيوانات. What does this mean? Don't assign your insides as the animal's graveyard. Don't assign your insides as the graveyard of animals. That also has a minimum, a superficial meaning. It means even in relation to the... Oh, thank you very much. Even in relation to halal meat, don't overdo it. Islam does have some vegetarian dimensions to it. It's not a vegetarian religion, but there are definitely vegetarian aspects to it. We'll speak about that in a minute. But even in relation to the halal meat, don't overdo it. Don't assign in your physical stomachs too much meat. However, this insight also means the soul here. What does it mean to not assign within your soul a graveyard of animals? What does that mean? Another tradition, just to explain this one. يُحْشَرُ النَّاسِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. People will be resurrected on the day of resurrection. How? Thank you very much, brother. أَلَى وُجُوهٍ. In many different forms. People, me and you, will be resurrected on the day of resurrection in many different forms. So much so that تحسنوا عندها القردة والخنازير, that the apes and the pigs will seem happy compared to the people who have manifested in a variety of different ways. That's the potential of what we can become if we don't be careful. We can be resurrected, me and you, people, as pigs, wolves, tigers, snakes, all together. It's what we've acquired through our actions in this world. By hurting people, stinging people, oppressing people. We may look as human beings, as surato insanin, the phenotype, the external appearance is that of humans. Wal qalb, wal qalbu hayawan, But the heart, the soul, is the heart of an animal. Depending on the action, you may look like a human being, but your barzakhi reality, which you will be resurrected with, is that of a wolf. With some people it can be a wolf, a dog, a tiger, a pig, an ape, all together. So much so that on the day of resurrection the pigs will look happy. Now look at that creature, at least we're just pigs. Look at that messed up creature. The apes will be happy with themselves when they see how we've resurrected, how we assigned our souls as animals' graveyard, the grave, barzakh.
If we could just move forward, sorry.
It's okay. Yes. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So don't assign your soul, your inside, as the graveyard of animals. You're a human being. And then we have traditions that say that predators, they don't attack sayyids. And what does that mean? Is it the type of sayyids that we all know of? It can't be, because I'm sure we all know of instances where a dog or some kind of animal has attacked a sayyid. So what's the meaning of this tradition? Where these predators, they don't attack sayyids. Here we have to see what a true sayyid means. Yes, the superficial meaning of a sayyid. There's the Khumsi type of sayyid. There's the sayyid who they connected to Lady Fatima alayhi salam through their mother or father. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Yes, these two forms of sayyids, they're both there. We have them in the Sharia. However, a sayyid is one who is a master over one's soul. So much so that they're a human. They've mastered their soul. They've disciplined. They're a master. They're humans. Not only externally and phenotypically, even their barzakhi reality. It's a good potential of what a human can be. Dogs, tigers, they never attack humans, real humans. If they attack a human being, it's because that human being, the barzakhi reality, which the predator sees, is of the predator. It is a dog, it is a wolf, it's a tiger. They'll attack you because you're a dog. In your dreams, have you ever dreamt, for example, a dog barking, a tiger approaching you, and then you wake up? There's no waking up in the hereafter, though. That tiger is you, the dog is you, the snake you saw is you, and there'll be no waking up in the hereafter. It's all depending on what your actions were during the day. So Muli'at butunukum min al-haram. You filled your insides with haram. What does this mean? It's a code to salvation. If you want not to be on the enemy side of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. If you want to avoid being on the side of the enemy today, you need much more than just sufficing with the minimum and the superficial aspect. You need much more than that. It takes much more than just having haram, just avoiding haram meat, to be on the side of Hussein alayhi salam. It's much more is involved here. Just because you earn a halal living, just because you don't consume the meat of pigs, just because you consume halal meat, Do you think that will guarantee you not being on the enemy side? No, because most of the enemy 1400 years ago, they lived to the dot, Sharia-wise. They wouldn't consume haram meat. We have to do much more. Otherwise, we will be on the side of the enemy even today. Even though we are sticking to the Sharia. Do you think it's easy to be on the side of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Do you think it just takes a minimum that's superficial, a few halals, wajibs and haram, that's it? How many times do we have to speak about the wajib and harams? How many times do we have to say that eating the flesh of pigs is haram? You all know that. You all know that meat have to be slaughtered Islamically. You all know that a haram living isn't right. I shouldn't keep on repeating these things that you all know. You have to want to grow internally and spiritually. You have to want to not suffice only with the minimum. You have to demand more. It's embarrassing for me just to always repeat the wajibat and the muharramat. You won't be growing like that. How much do you want to listen to this? At least we have to go in the inner meanings of the Sharia in order to grow. Otherwise, it's a false hope that you're acquiring within. And you may be of the enemy, but you don't know it. The Holy Imam is saying that you fill your insides with haram. It can't just be the superficial aspect of haram, because the enemy 1400 years ago, they stuck to the Sharia. They stuck to these simple wajibat and the muharramat. So what is it? What is it that the Imam is referring to? This we have to take and pay heed to if we want to be on the side of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and not to be on the side of the enemy. Do you think the enemy is just the Obamas of the world today? The Netanyahus of the world today? That's very simple thinking. They are enemies, but that's very evident to everyone, they're enemies. But you don't have to be an Obama to be an enemy. You can be a Muslim, abiding by the Sharia, but be an enemy of the Holy Imam. It's not easy. For goodness sake, only 72 people remained. Without a doubt, me and you wouldn't have remained there. We would have escaped the whole scene. Our faith isn't even on the level of Shim. Shim used to be a fighter, used to, on the Battle of Siffin, he defended Amir al-Mu'mineen. His faith was very high once upon a time. He was fighting side to side with Imam Hussein alayhi salam, defending Walaya, defending Amir al-Mu'mineen. He nearly became martyred. Me and you can't even acquire that level, that superficial level of Shim. So, this filling our souls with haram, what is it? How complacent can we become? And then we keep on speaking about the 12th Imam. Very simply, we say things, yes. Anyway, مُلِئَتْ بُطُونُكُمْ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ Your insides have been filled with haram. We want to know the exact nature of this haram. It's more than the haram of the Sharia. We want to know what kind of haram is it. Here we go to the Quran. Chapter 5, verse number 3. Now, just one point before we start with this verse. as I refer to from the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt, the Quran, every verse has an infinite number of inner meanings. The science of those inner esoteric dimensions we call ta'wil, not tafsir. Tafsir is also a science. It's in relation to the superficial verses of the Quran. They happened in a certain context. We study the context, the occasions of revelation, and we understand the verses, the superficial aspect. We can't make it up. Personal opinion in relation to tafsir, it's haram, it's problematic. But these superficial verses of the Holy Quran, each of them have an infinite number of esoteric meanings. We have to gain access to those meanings to grow. The Quran, it's Allah's knowledge. Allah's knowledge is infinite. It's descended into an Arabic Quran, the superficial Arabic that we see. But we have to now travel back to Allah through this Arabic superficial aspect. We have to dig deep within and travel within. Only the Imams, only the Ma'sumin can give definitively the esoteric dimensions, the inner meanings of the verses of the Quran. That's one point. However, scholars of Ta'wil, and especially the Urafa, they, through their spirituality, have visions of the inner meanings of the Quran. But they have to say, maybe this is the meaning. They can't say it definitively. Unless that meaning which they have acquired spiritually through immaterial visions and apparitions, it's on a par with the Quran, it's on a par with the logic of the Quran, it's on a par with the logic of the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt, there it will become proof. These scholars and Urafa, through their spirituality, they've seen many of the truths of the esoteric dimensions of the Quran. Irfan is about seeing. أَإِنَّهُ إِلْمُ الْغَيْبِ فَهُوَ يَرَى. Does one have knowledge of the unseen to qualify as a seer? A seeing that animals don't have. Otherwise, all our lives, if we just see like how animals see, we're no different. If we never see beyond the physical, and all our lives we just saw the physical like animals see, the Quran calls such people spiritually blind. And you're going to be spiritually blind in the hereafter too. You may go to heaven, but it's going to be a minimum heaven. You're spiritually blind. Man kana fi hadhihi a'ma, those who are blind in this world, fahuwa fil akhirati a'ma, they're going to be blind in the hereafter. It's not a physical blindness, it's a spiritual blindness. It's about seeing. It's about seeing beyond the physical. The Quran, this is the objective. The Quran explicitly speaks about this. Not sufficing with the physical. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ. Those who say, our Lord is Allah. Aqa'id. Islamic doctrine. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Then they stay steadfast on their aqa'id. Action. Now aqa'id and action has degrees. The deeper the better, the more the better. Those who know aren't equal to those who don't know. The deeper the better. Aqa'id. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Then action. What will happen? تتنزل عليهم الملائكة. Angels will descend upon them. This is me and you. I don't want you to panic, but everyone to their own capacity. Some people a bit more, some people less. But that's the goal, seeing beyond. We don't want to limit our seeing to how animals see. Even animals, some of them see better than us. We have to make an effort. We shouldn't be complacent with the minimum. Wallahi, you won't grow with the minimum. We're just fooling ourselves. We want to grow. Everyone to their best, you know, efforts and endeavors. It's about seeing. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. People seeing angels. Many of you may have seen angels, but you didn't know they were angels. For example, you heard a sound in the morning, you woke up, it's Fajr time. The person beside you, they didn't hear anything, you heard it, that was an angel. But still your aqad isn't that strong, your action isn't that strong, the angel didn't manifest properly. Some people hear a noise, they wake up, it's Fajr time, for example. Some people see a scholar, telling them, wake up. That scholar is an angel, that angel appeared as a scholar. The person beside you, they saw nothing, they heard nothing. Some people see angels. The degree depends on your action, your aqa'id. So the urafa, they see the realities, many of the realities, and have visions of the esoteric dimensions of the verses of the Quran. They come and share it with me and you. And they come and write it in a book. That this verse, the esoteric meanings, is this. This verse, I've seen it. Okay, they've seen it. Is that enough for me and you? Is that proof for me and you? No, it's proof for them. If they have yaqeen in relation to it, it's proof for them, but not for me and you. Then they come and support it with the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt. It becomes proof for me and you now. They come and support it with the logic of the Quran. It becomes proof for me and you now. They come and support it through aql. It becomes proof for me and you now. But they have to prove it. They can't just say, we saw, that's it. But even then, they say maybe this is the meaning. They can never say 100%. That's only the ma'sumin can do that. And here with ta'wil, there's no occasions of revelation. We don't have to go to the socio-political context of the time, no. That's not necessary. And there's no impediment for us to research these areas. But they have to be proved. And the urafa, the science of ta'wil, they have their own criteria. And the criteria, they number 20. And they broadly divide it into four groups. So it's a science at the end of the day. Now this verse of the Quran, the key to what mule'at butunukum min al-haram, the key to your insides have become filled with haram, the key lies in this verse. And the urafa have explained through their visions the esoteric dimensions of this verse, and then they've supported it with traditions of the Ahlul Bayt. This is how we have to go through it. So let's go through the verse. So it's verse number 3, chapter 5, Surah Al-Ma'idah. For many of you, when I say Surah 5, number 5, verse number 3, you say, oh, that's Akmaltu al-Yawm, Akmaltu lakum dinakum. Today, I've perfected your religion for you. Now, in the beginning of this verse, there's a few superficial aspects of the Sharia mentioned. In the middle of the verse, we see this phrase, that I've perfected your religion for you. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. That was revealed at the end of the 23 years of the Holy Mission, of the Holy Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Brother, please move to the forward. Please move forward.
Please,
there's too many people by the door, so if you could all move forward. There's plenty of space here.
So Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Dinakum was revealed at the end of the 23 years. It's the story of Qadir. But in the beginning part of this verse, chapter 5, verse 3, it's in relation to the Sharia, a few basic points. Don't eat this, don't eat that. That was revealed in the beginning of the 23 years. Why? Why did the Holy Messenger put this important clause or sentence of the Holy Quran, why did he put it in chapter 5, verse 3? Some say, and it's okay, it's a justifiable answer, that many verses of the Holy Quran, like chapter 33, verse 33, and this one, the verses of Wilaya, the Holy Prophet would fit in basic verses which speak of the Sharia and the letter of the law, so that the enemies, they can't get rid of those verses ever. Because the people know and have memorized the Sharia and those verses of the Sharia. And once you put these important and sensitive verses in between those, it's difficult to hide it from the people. It's difficult to get rid of those verses. That's one understanding, and that's okay. But there's another understanding. There's another understanding to why the Holy Messenger would put this verse, that your religion has been perfected today, and that Allah's blessings have been completed over you, and that Allah has approved of this Islam that you have. There's another reason why this has come here, and that inshallah will become evident at the end. But now let's go through the verse, its superficial meaning, and then the esoteric dimensions of this verse. حرمت عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير. Prohibited for you, or prohibited upon you, is the carcass, animals that die naturally, without actually being slaughtered Islamically. They die naturally. You can't consume such corpses, such carcasses. Okay, does anyone have a problem with that? Is anyone amongst you now consuming that? Of course not. Yes, once upon a time it was important. Maybe before Islam people would do it. Islam came with this minimum, with the Sharia. Don't consume carcasses. Okay. Is that it now? Finished? No other meaning? This eternal religion, comprehensive until the very end. Allah's knowledge descended into this Quranic, this Arabic Quran. Is that now finished now? That don't consume carcasses? Let's go to step two. Or does this don't consume carcasses have a number of esoteric meanings? Don't consume blood. Is that it? Is anyone consuming blood today? Should we feel complacent now that we don't consume blood and carcasses? Should we feel proud of ourselves? Have we achieved something great? Of course not. But what's the spirit of these verses? What's the esoteric dimensions of the corpse, of the blood? How are we doing in relation to those meanings today? وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ Like, there's no one in this room consuming the flesh of pigs. Should we feel complacent there that we're not consuming it? What are the esoteric meanings here? What's the carcass? What's the blood representing? What's the flesh of pigs representing? Adonio Jifaton. The world is the carcass, is the corpse, the dunya. Oh, now it becomes a bit more difficult now. No one in this room consumes a carcass, but how many of us are drowned in the worldly life? All of us. Now things become a bit more difficult now. Now we have to feel a bit, you know, embarrassed of ourselves. By being drowned in the worldly life, this drowning that you are being drowned in this worldly life, it will be embodied in the hereafter as you consuming carcasses, corpses. So what that you're not consuming a corpse in this world? The soul is a corpse. The soul is drowned in the dunya. You see, here we got help and we support this vision of the Orafo through the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt. Ad-dunya jifa. And many people will get drowned in the physical, in the worldly life. As you are getting drowned in this worldly life, in the glitter of this world, you are in reality, by the spirit of the law, you are consuming carcasses, moment to moment, be it at the workplace, university, if it's dunya at the workplace, if it's dunya at the university, if there's no Allah at the workplace, if there's no Allah at the university. Okay, you're not consuming superficial carcasses, but so what? Also prohibited upon you is blood. What does blood represent? What's the spirit of the law here? Here on a par with the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt, blood is on a par with your animalistic whims and passions. For goodness sake, you're a human being. One's nutritional appetite, one's sexual appetite, control them. Just because it's a halal doesn't mean you just drown yourself in these animalistic halals. Just because something is halal, it doesn't mean you have to do it. Discipline the soul. Don't get drowned in these animalistic appetites. If you do get drowned, you're drinking blood. Moment to moment. Even if you're thinking like that. Things are important. Mole'at butunukum min al-haram. Now it has meaning. Now it has meaning. Your insides have become filled with haram, yes. Now we know the enemies of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Yes. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Yes, now we, yes. Those people, the shims and the others, they may have stuck to the letter of the law, but no, they were drowned in their animalistic appetites. There was no Allah, there was power. They did things for power. They went to the university place for power, for prestige. They went to the workplace for power, for dunya. It was all dunya. Now it makes sense now. Now we see how difficult it is to be on the side of the Imam. It's almost impossible. We're all walking on, you know, eggs, on, we're just clinging on a thin string. Most of us will get drowned in the physical, in the worldly life. And then we're going to be the enemy of the Imam of the time. وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ The flesh of pigs. it's prohibited. Is it only the superficial, the pig that we see? No pork, okay, for us? Is that sufficient? If we don't consume pork, we're there with the imam. Is it that simple? You know, only a few people stood with the imam. Many of those were family. Many strong people did not side with the imam, couldn't, weren't present in Karbala, because their insides weren't filled with any form of haram, any form, not only the superficial haram. Even the tariqi harams, no, they didn't fill themselves with haram. So what does the pig represent? We go to the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt. The pig has these attributes. Prohibited upon you or to acquire these attributes of the pig. The traditions speak of it. One is greed. One is an absence of religious zeal. There's no zeal, there's no ghira in the pig. There's greed in the pig. It's prohibited for you, not on a part of the Sharia, on a part of the tariqa, the inner aspects of the law. Why do you think even consuming pigs is haram? Some scientists may find some bacteria and they come and say, oh, these bacteria only exist in the pig, therefore it's haram, it's not. Why are you diverting people's attention from the spirit of the law? Nothing to do with this bacteria that you're finding. Then tomorrow they find that bacteria in a cow, for example. What are you going to say there? Don't make these scientific observations with the Quran. It's not a book of science. It's a book of the soul. It wants the soul to grow. Don't divert people's attention from within. You consume the pig, you become pigly. You acquire attributes of the pig if you consume it. Can we prove this? It's very simple. Any rational mind will accept this logic. Why? Even non-Muslims accept it. Why do we say, choose your friends? Why do we say that? One of the companions of the Holy Messenger, by the name of Lubayd ibn Rabi'a, he said that al-mar'u yuslihuhu al-qarinu salih. A righteous companion makes one righteous. This is international now. Choose your friends. Why should we choose your friends? Because you will acquire the negative and vicious attributes. If you become friendly with people and acquire an affinity with people, that's the main point. Otherwise, you have to show compassion to all people. If there's a sinner, you still have to love the sinner. You have to show compassion to the sinner. Yes, the hatred is in relation to the sin, but you have to care. We're all sinners. But the 12th Imam really cares for us wholeheartedly. He sees us sinning every day. It hurts him to see us sin. It bothers him. It pains him. But the compassion, his compassion for us is always there. We also have to have that compassion. However, we should avoid acquiring and attaching ourselves to sinners or bad people. We have to choose our friends. Don't become friendly. Don't acquire affinity with people with vicious attributes. Why do we say that? And why do we say choose friends with righteous attributes? Because if you become friendly and have an affinity towards vicious people, the vicious attributes are conveyed to you. It's a spiritual conversion and transfer and transition. What is it that's becoming transferred into your soul? It's that person's animalistic, vicious attributes. That's being transferred. Now, that's something which is transferred spiritually. Now imagine you eating that animal. A pig, for example. You'll acquire the attributes. In the same way that if you become friends with and attach yourself to a person with pig attributes, you will acquire those attributes. Well, if you eat the pig, even more so. That's why it's haram. That's why predators, the flesh of predators, is haram in Islam, because you'll become a predator in society. The reasons why these meats are haram. Now, yes, the cow, the sheep, the cattle in general, they're benign. They don't have vicious attributes. They're benign. That you can consume. But even there, if you overdo it, you'll acquire attributes of cattle. You become lazy, sloppy. So prohibited upon you is those pig attributes, greed, absence of zeal, ghira, in relation to your religion. وَمَا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرَ اللَّهِ بِهِ. And that which has been offered to other than Allah, we'll come to that. Then four classes of animals are given. وَالْمُنْخَنِغَةُ وَالْمُغُوذَةُ وَالْمُتَرَدِّيَةُ وَالنَّتِيهَةُ. مُنْخَنِغَة, those animals that, let's say a cow that is strangled to death. A cow that is strangled to death is not slaughtered Islamically, so you can't consume it. مُغُوذَةُ, an animal that has been beaten to death. If it's beaten to death, it hasn't been slaughtered Islamically. You can't consume it. You see, you can't consume it. So, is that an issue today for us? Are we? Is this a threat which is we're facing? It may be, I don't know, but this isn't the main issue at hand. We accept this, but who are the animals, or what are the animals that are strangled and beaten to death? What spiritually, what is prohibited upon us? What are the esoteric dimensions of the strangled animal, of the animal that is beaten to death? Here the scholars have said, those who strangle their souls, the animal being the soul here, your soul, my soul. One who strangles the soul out of endeavor, those endeavors being religious endeavors. One who beats their souls with religious disciplines. So me and you, we strangle the soul, we strangle the ego. We beat the ego within us. It's good. So far it's good. Eliminating the ego, beating, strangling the soul so the ego is killed. So far it's good. But these people, they do it out of riya and sum'a. The people who strangle their souls through rituals. They do a lot of salat. They do a lot of fasting. They do a lot of salatul layl, a lot. They beat their souls with disciplines that Islam has given and has given the go-ahead. They do all this, but they do it out of riya. Oh, I did salatul layl last night and I had this feeling. They keep on praying out of riya, ostentation. Riya and sum'a, same meaning, ostentation. But with riya, you want others to see you. There's no Allah there. you're not growing at all. You just want people to see you. With some, you want people to hear you. It's ostentation through words. Now, why these visions, how can they be supported? Because the strangled animal, the animal that is beaten to death, okay? You put that animal here. And the animal that has been slaughtered Islamically, you put it here. They look the same. There's no difference between the two. On the outside, they look exactly the same. In the same way that someone beats and strangles their soul, kills the ego, out of riya, out of sum'a, they look the same as the real arif who strangles and beats their soul. But if it's done out of riya, you're that animal. وَالْمُتَرَدِّيَةُ وَالنَّتِيهَا. Animals that have been, they've fallen from a high place down and they were killed by falling. Or animals that have been gored to death. They've been horned to death. You know, animals that with horns, they horn one another. Those animals too, it's haram to consume. Esoterically, the inner dimensions though, the scholars have said that one who spiritually throws oneself from a high position, spiritual position, to a low position by means of, and then they list a number of attributes which are on a par with goring people to death. Depressing your spiritual status, falling down spiritually. It's when they find fault with others. All they know is how to argue and finding faults with people. That's all they do. They never see themselves. They just keep on faulting others. In the worst possible way sometimes. Under the disguise of Amr Ma'ruf sometimes. And then they hurt people. They damage people. They horn people. They gore them to death. Or, according to the visions that they've had, people who express their superiority to others. They want to say that in relation to knowledge, especially people like me, in relation to knowledge, in relation to asceticism, they want to keep on expressing to people, we're more superior than you. There's no humility whatsoever. Always on the, I am better than you. These people have thrown themselves from a high place down. وَمَا أَكَلَ السَّبُعُ إِلَّا مَا ذَكَيْتُمْ. And that which the predators attack and maybe disfigure, save that which you can slaughter. The superficial meaning of this verse is, when they were hunting, let's say a hound dog attacks a sheep, the sheep has been mutilated to some degree, but the sheep hasn't died yet. If the sheep hasn't died, you still have time to slaughter it Islamically. And therefore you can consume the flesh of that sheep. That's the superficial meaning. But esoterically, what does prohibited upon you, that which the predators consume or they disfigure, barring that which you can purify, what does it mean? In relation to the basic needs we have in the dunya, don't be like the predators of the world, which feed from the dunya with their paws of greed. You suffice with the minimum, and with that minimum, just purify it. You see, in countries where capitalism is the predominating factor, where it cultivates predators, you have to be careful at the workplace not to get drowned in that predator attitude and mentality. You keep on feeding unnecessarily from the dunya with the pause of greed. Just suffice with your basic requirements. For everyone it's different. I'm not saying a big house, a big car is bad, but we shouldn't fool ourselves. Most people get drowned in the worldly life. It's difficult not to. Either you want to be on the side of the imam or you don't. If you don't, so be it. Just suffice with the minimum. Inshallah, you'll go to heaven still. It's a minimum heaven you'll be given. But if you want to be on the side of the imam, it's difficult. وَمَا ذُبْهَا عَلَى النُّصُوبِ. And that which has been sacrificed on the altar. In those days they would sacrifice animals on a stone altar for idols. Is anyone doing that today? Well, not on the surface of things, but yes, be rest assured, we're all sacrificing animals for idols, moment to moment, in this world, right now. What does it mean esoterically? The sacrificing of idols, the sacrificing of animals for idols. The animal is the nafs here, and you're sacrificing your soul for worldly incentives, the worldly incentive being the idol. You're not doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're just using Allah as a means. That worldly incentive becomes an idol for you. Whenever Allah is used as a means in Irfan, we call that an idol, that action. You're sacrificing yourself, you're working hard, but it's for a worldly incentive. So most of us have failed already, but even if it's for a hereafter incentive, it's an idol. You do something to go to heaven, you're using Allah as a means. It's not haram doing something to go to heaven, but you're not growing. You're sufficing with the minimum. You do Salatul Layl, so you go to heaven, so your sustenance increases. You're using Allah as a means. It's an idol. Salatul Layl is an idol. Then Ziyarat al-Ashura can potentially be an idol. The Quran can be an idol. Giving charity. Because why are you doing it? Is it to go to heaven, to get rewards, to be relieved from burdens? Well, you're using Allah as a means. You're not doing it for Allah's sake. It's like a man and woman. Sometimes the man does good to the woman to get good cuisine at night. That's using the woman as a means. Sometimes you do good to the woman because of who she is. That's different. That's valuable. In relation to Allah, even more so. That's the whole aim. And then even the small things. Inviting people over to your house. Do you do it for Allah or not? How can you tell? If they never invited you back, you get disappointed. It wasn't for Allah. It was an idol. You invite them, they say no thank you. You get disappointed. Why? If it's for Allah, why do you need to get disappointed? It wasn't for Allah. They say no to your invitation. Okay. It's not maybe the best of etiquette, but still, we don't want to judge anyone. They say no thank you. They may have reasons. You get disappointed. There was no Allah. Day in, day out, we're sacrificing the animal within, our souls, for worldly incentives, idols, and even incentives of the hereafter. And this one can continue with more and more examples, but inshallah we'll stop here and we'll continue tomorrow.